Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Let me ask you something as we get stuck in today. Have you ever noticed how one decision can change everything? Think about the decisions that you make each and every day. Have you ever made a decision that had way bigger consequences than you expected? That one moment, and then everything shifted. That one choice you made, and now you live in the aftermath, maybe decades later. That one decision you made, and then figured out there's not an undo button. That one instant that splits time for you, that this was before that, and then there's the after that. We all know what this looks like when we make a decision, and then there's that ripple effect where we make the decision and then regrets are created. Relationships broken, trust shattered. And then the guilt is coming. We feel the guilt. And then peace is lost and pain is multiplied. That one moment and the impact is bigger than you ever imagined. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Yeah. But you know what's bigger than all of that? This is wild. What if I told you that your life is being shaped right now, and your life up to now has been shaped by a decision you didn't even make? How good is that? You got your own decisions that you've made that have created the ripple effects. And by the way, the ripple effect isn't always bad. Sometimes there's good things because we've done something well. But your life is being shaped by a decision that you aren't even responsible for. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sit well with me because I like to think I'm in control of my life. I make my own decisions. I write my own story. Yeah? Anybody with me? Do we need to sing another song to wake you up? Yeah. Come on, I know you can identify with this because we a lot of us feel that way. We're writing our own story, making our own decisions, choosing our own life. But our reality is, our experience is, we know that it doesn't always work out that way. Because there are patterns that we didn't choose. Maybe that we just inherited. Habits that we can't break. Reactions that we can't seem to control. There are struggles that we didn't ask for. That anxiety that creeps up. Those insecurities that keep showing up all the time that we have no idea where they even came from. The brokenness that we didn't create, wounds we didn't cause, and stories that we didn't write, but we're still living in it. Why? Why does life have to look like that? Does anybody want to know that? Romans chapter 5 answers that, and it says something pretty confronting. It lets us know that your story and my story is being shaped by two people that you have never met. How good is that? People you've never met are shaping your story. The Apostle Paul says, two men shaped human history. He starts out in verse 12 of chapter 5. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So we've got this guy called Adam, and essentially it tells us that Adam is the story that you and I are born into. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. A little bit about Adam, in case you're not a church person and you've never heard and you know this guy named Adam and you think he's an all right bloke. Well, this guy, he was an all right bloke. He was the first man ever created. He was put in the Garden of Eden, which was paradise. He had the perfect world. He made one decision, one bad decision, and it changed everything. Right? That's the Adam that we're talking about. One man, one decision, changed everything. And when I say changed everything, it didn't just change behavior. It changed the condition that we are born into. It didn't just change actions. It created a broken system where sin entered, death followed, and then it spread to everyone. That, my friends, is the story that you were born into and I was born into. And the Apostle Paul goes on further in the verses following there, and he lets us know that before the law existed, okay, the law, if you're not familiar with that, it was a thing given to Moses in the book of Exodus, and the law was, maybe you're familiar with the Ten Commandments. There's actually 600 and something of them, but the 10 big ones, and that was the law that we're supposed to live by. Before that was ever there, death was already happening. Why? Because it wasn't about the actions. It was about the story that had already been created for humanity. The story that humanity was being born into over and over again, even before the law. Think of it like this. You inherit your eye color, your hair color, maybe your height or your width or all those other things, and from your parents. You didn't just inherit those things. You also inherited a story where things break, where people hurt, where life doesn't work out the way that it should. You weren't just born into a family. You were born into this story that was created by Adam. It's a broken story. It's not a learned story. It's actually inherited. And that, friend, my friends, is that's why we struggle. That's why you do things and I do things that we know aren't the right things. Anybody do that? Of course, you all do, right? But that's why, because we're living in Adam's story. We were born into Adam's story. Now, quick survey. Are there any firstborns in the room? My hand's up. Yep. Lots of firstborns. Any firstborns online, type it in the chat, I'm a firstborn. You know what you're thinking right now? You do. Of course you do. I know what you're thinking right now. This whole thing about being born into Adam's story, that's not fair, right? Because us firstborns, it's got to be fair, doesn't it? You know, that might be your reaction to this whole thing about being born into this story where one man's decision has affected everybody else, and why Adam's sin should have anything to do with you. You might be asking that question, and it's a good question. And the Apostle Paul, throughout this passage, he's talking about something that I call the power of one, because he uses the word one over and over again. He talks about one act, one decision, one person. He talks about the ripple effect that had, because he wants us to feel the weight of it, the weight of one, a decision by one person. And then later on, the sacrifice of one person. And see, whether I like it or not, and whether you like it or not, we know this is actually the way the world works. Think about it for just a minute. One leader can make a decision that affects a whole nation. Can I dare say, in our current climate, one leader can make a decision that affects the whole world. One person starts something, and everybody has to live in that. Bringing it closer to home. One parent can shape the emotional world of a child. Just a few words, or lack of words, or actions that follow that child into being a teenager and into an adult, and they carry it with them the rest of their life. The power of one. One moment can alter the direction of a life. And Paul says to us, this is exactly what happened in Adam. That's what happened when Adam sinned. One man's disobedience opened the door for sin and death for everyone. Now again, we might be asking, is it fair that one person's decision affects everyone else? Well, here's the answer, and I want you to catch this. Because fundamentally, it actually is fair. Because if every one of us was evaluated on our own merits, based on our own actions, what would the result have been? Exactly the same. Because we didn't just inherit sin, we actually added to it ourselves. We add our rebellion to Adam's, and we all have sinned. Anybody that hasn't? Right, clearly not. See, the result would be the same. So yes, it kind of is fair, but it actually goes way, way, way deeper than that. Because the reality is that when Adam sinned, he wasn't just our representative. We were actually there with him. See, Adam was the starting point of humanity. He was the first person, and every person that's lived since then came from him, except for Jesus. That's why the virgin birth is so important, and that's a sermon for another day. But we were there with Adam. See, all humanity was wrapped up in that moment. It's the same way that families carry traits and pass them on. It's the same way that generations carry patterns. It's the same way that what's in one life flows on to the next one. So Adam was actually carrying us in him when he did this. So when he fell, we fell with him. And you know, that's why sin doesn't feel foreign to us. It feels very familiar. That's why brokenness isn't surprising to us. Brokenness is the normal, and we understand that inherently. That's why we don't just learn how to sin. It's natural. We're born into it. So yes, it's actually more than fair, but get this, it's also gracious. And you may be sitting there thinking, hang on a minute, I can get the fair based on everything you said, but what's this gracious thing? Well, think about it. If God can deal with humanity, condemn humanity based on one person, then now he can turn around and save humanity based on one person. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Think about it. Let that sink in. You see, what sounded harsh and confronting when it was Adam is the same thing that gives us hope in Jesus. And see, we didn't just inherit Adam's story. Now we can step into Jesus' story because of one man. And Jesus' story is actually better. Paul now goes through and he compares Adam and Jesus, and he's wanting us to comprehend and understand that Jesus' story is a whole lot better than the story we were born into. So he says this in verse 15. There is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. Now, this is the whole passage right here. And actually, the whole book of Romans kind of hinges on this statement, is that there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's great gift. What Adam did was devastating, but what Jesus did was so much greater. The Greek says much, much more. You go much, 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 much forever. We can keep saying much. But that's the passage. He says this then, for the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater, that's the much more, is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. See, Adam had a massive impact. But Paul's saying, you think Adam's impact was big? And it's big. It wrecked everything. But Jesus was much bigger, much greater. He goes on. He says, Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. I like that last part. Even though we are guilty of many sins. Because I've lived longer than probably a lot of you, and I've got many sins and everything. It's like, even though we've got many sins, it's greater. Jesus, God's gift of grace is greater. Adam brings condemnation. Jesus brings restoration. Then he goes on. Says, sin caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace. All who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. He says, if we were in Adam when he fell, we can now be in Jesus when he rose. That's the difference. See, the story that we can step into is Jesus' story now. We were born into Adam's. Now we can choose to step into the Jesus story. One man, one act, and everything changes again. He goes on. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. The punishment was for one sin. The one sin Adam committed, we all end up inheriting that punishment. The payment was for all sins. Isn't that beautiful? The payment was so much greater. It was much more. Adam's impact is devastating. Jesus' impact is greater, much more. See those words? I'm going to do something with you, all right? Count to three, and we're all going to say those words together, all right? Much more, because that's describing Jesus' impact. And actually, we could go much more, but we're not going to. We're just going to go much more on three. Ready? One, two, three. Much more. All right. Way better than the first service, right? But I'm still going to make you do it again, okay? All right, here we go. One, two, three. Much more. Well done. You're going to get some more chances to practice that because Adam broke one thing. Jesus fixes everything. Okay. You're going to have to catch up on this next one. All right, here we go. You're fading. Adam brought death. Jesus brings life. There you go. Adam affected everyone. Jesus makes life available to everyone. All right. Reasonable. Much more. And that's fun. That's exciting. Why doesn't it feel that way sometimes? Why does it feel like sin still sometimes gets the upper hand? Why is there still so much brokenness showing up, and why do we get stuck in the same patterns? And even more importantly, what does God do when the old story creeps back in and keeps surfacing, when the brokenness is still there and the patterns are still there and the old story just keeps trying to pull you back? Paul answers that. He says this: God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Paul isn't pretending that sin just disappears overnight. When we say a prayer and we accept Jesus Christ, we give our lives to Jesus, we are made right with God. This is true. But it doesn't mean that we stop sinning right away. It doesn't mean the temptations aren't still going to be there. And it doesn't mean we're still not going to have a struggle. What he's saying is, when sin does keep popping up, when sin is increasing, grace increases even more. It makes God's grace continue to increase. It says sin still may show up, but it doesn't get the final word because that's not your story anymore. You live in the new story. Paul brings it all down to this. There's two stories and one choice. We can live in the sin story, Adam's story that leads to death, or we can live in the grace story, which is Jesus, that brings life, leads to life. See, something is shaping you right now. Something is shaping your story right now. If it's sin, then your life, I can tell you what your life is marked by. It's marked by fear and guilt and shame and pressure and control and weightiness and always pushing and taking. But Paul says there's a better reality. There's a better reality that you can step into, and that's grace, which gives life, which gives freedom, which is not just driven, it's not crushed. It's actually a place that you don't have to be stuck anymore. You can live in freedom. That's the difference. That's what Paul's pointing out here, is that the law didn't fix the problem. It only exposed it. And it continues to remind us of the things that actually aren't okay. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, there are things that just aren't okay in life and society. And that's what the law is there for. It showed us how bad things really are. But grace didn't just meet the problem. Grace overwhelmed it because it's much more. It's bigger than sin. It's bigger than any sin because Jesus died on the cross for the sins. No matter how broken your story is, we know the story we're born into, and for some of us, my heart breaks when I hear some people's story because the effects of that being born into the Adam story seems more severe for some than others. And it breaks my heart, but no matter how severe your story is, grace rewrites it. Grace rewrites it and makes you right with God. So what do we do with all this? Well, you're not still just figuring life out. You're actually living in a story, and we've kind of established that today. So the question is, which story are you living from? Are you living from the Adam story that you're born into? Are you living from the Jesus story because you've stepped into it? It's the story we step into. See, you when you're in the Adam story, you don't just need forgiveness. You need forgiveness, but you need a whole new story. And that's what Jesus came to provide. See, you're born into the one story, but you don't have to stay there. You can choose the second story. You can choose to step into that. And some of you are still living in Adam's story. You've never stepped into the Jesus story. You're trying hard to fix things. You're dealing with the decisions and then the ripples and all the brokenness and all that, and you keep trying and trying to do better, but your trying is getting you nowhere because you can't do it. Jesus paid the way for that. He wrote the new story, and he just says, please step into it. Just give me your life, and I'll take care of it. And some of you need to do that now. Some of you need to do that today and just say, Jesus, hey, I'm tired of striving and trying and doing it myself. I give you my life so that you can step into the new story. Some of you are actually in the new story, but somehow, see, it feels like you keep living in the old story, right? You understand that? Sometimes it feels like we're doing that. We're still stuck and defeated and like we're still being defined by the past and living under our guilt. Jesus says, no. You're living under grace, and that is much more. That is so much greater than the sin. My grace is sufficient for you. You don't have to live the old story and be defined by the old story because you're in a new story, and you need to rest in that. And don't miss this. If one man's sin affected everyone, an even greater, much more, Jesus affected everyone by his obedience to dying for those sins, then everyone should hear about this. We're talking about Easter changes everything, and everyone should know that it changes everything. See, grace changed your story. If you're walking in that new story, grace changed it. That's why you're walking in it. How about helping someone else's story? How about you leaning into that story and sharing it with others. See, after the resurrection, last week we celebrated the resurrection. After the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days on the earth and he spent time with the disciples a bit. And right before he left, he told them, he said, okay, guys, I'm leaving. Now, I want you to keep this a secret. Okay, somebody's paying attention. Right. No, that's not what he said. He said, I want you to go. And I want you to share this new story with everybody. I want everybody on the planet to know about this story. 2 Corinthians speaks to this. Same writer that wrote Romans wrote this. Paul says, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. That's the new story. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. See, God brought us to himself, and then he gave us the task of bringing others to that same place so that he can bring them to him as well. You know, there's something I love. I love new Christians. New Christians don't have it all figured out yet, right? New Christians are just excited. It's like, wow, this new thing has happened to me. And it just starts spilling out of them. They start telling people. We got a guy in our church. He was actually over here playing the guitar this morning. His name's Tariq. He's only been a Christian 8 months. 8 months, okay? What's he doing playing the guitar? He hasn't passed all the time. Yeah. Tariq can't keep it to himself. I want you to watch a quick video of him.
Hey guys, today we're going to be in Melbourne City spreading the gospel, spreading the good news. Daniel and I just felt really prompted by the Holy Spirit to come out here and spread the good news today, day before Easter. So maybe we can get some people in church, and we just want to spread the love, pray for people, maybe heal some people, and all in Jesus' name.
So, are you religious? Because you know, Easter Sunday is like a religious thing.
I don't have a religion, but I went to a Catholic school.
Oh, you went to a Catholic school? Cool. Yeah. But I grew up, do you mind if I share my story?
Yeah,
so I grew up Muslim, in a Muslim household my whole life. So I was born and raised Muslim, but when I was 12, it's a bit of a dark turn. When I was 12, my dad died of liver cancer.
Oh, that's good.
And so after that, I was like really angry with God, and I'd be like, God, if you're so good, why are all these bad things happening? Like, why did my good dad die if you're so good? So I was like, that was when I was 12. And all for the rest of the 10, I was like kind of annoyed with God, really angry. But then when I was 19, I was like really depressed and lonely. And I started asking questions, like, cause I'm really big into history. I was like, oh, is God real? Stuff like that. And so this girl was like, oh, why don't you check out the gospel? Like, she's my girlfriend now. She's like, why don't you check out the gospels? I was like, all right, whatever. Jesus is pretty popular. So I started looking him up. And then I had like a spiritual encounter with him. So my problem with Islam was works. So it's like you're trying to work your way to heaven. How do you think you get to heaven?
Why are you clapping? Because that's good, isn't it? You know, that's what happens when somebody steps into the new story before everybody tells them, oh no, we don't do that kind of stuff. You know, you just come to church and have your community and your small group and you serve in the church. You know, I hope nobody ever tells him, okay? So please don't tell him. He's backstage right now getting ready to come out again. Let him keep doing that kind of stuff. You know, if we're honest, many of us, been following Jesus a lot longer than 8 months. And maybe we've lost some of that initial passion that we had when it was all fresh and new. Looking at some new believers on the front here. You know, what would it look like to maybe try to recapture that and take seriously that task that God has given us? After he brought us back to himself, he said, hey, now I want you to go bring people to me so then I can bring them all the way to me. What would it look like for us to take that seriously? Well, can I get you to consider, what if you see one, share one, and invite one? It looks like this. First of all, notice. Notice who's in that story, that old story. Who's in your realm of influence that's still in Adam's story? Maybe they live in your house. Maybe they live next door. Maybe they're in your workplace. Maybe they're in your school. Who is that? Notice them. Just take notice. And then name for them what Jesus did in you. I love what Tariq's doing there. That video was a minute and a half, maybe minute 20. And he doesn't have all the answers. Did you know that? He hasn't done an apologetics course, and he can't defend all the things in Scripture and stuff. But you know what he did? He said, can I share my story? Can I share my story? Wow. So powerful. He doesn't know all the answers, but you know Jesus changed his life. That's his story. So name your story. And then next, invite them into a next step. That's what it's all about. Invite them to a space that might lead them to a new story. Invite them to come sit with you right here. Invite them to the Alpha Course starting up in the 23rd of April that Pastor Charlie's going to be leading. Invite them to have a conversation and just share your story with them. Because, you know, something I've noticed is that most people don't just wander into church and hear a sermon for the first time and all of a sudden they're followers of Jesus. It generally doesn't work like that. That's pretty sobering for me as a preacher. But it's usually because of a person, because someone noticed them, because someone shared something real with them, because someone simply said, hey, come with me. I want you to hear the story that changed my life. See, you don't need to have all the answers. You just need to take the next step. So I want to ask you this morning to consider, who's your one? You don't have to have a list of 38 that you're going to try to reach this week, but who's the one? Who's one person you know that's living in the other story that needs to step in to the Jesus story? Who is that person? And then be ready to share your story. Name it. Share your story with them, how Jesus changed your life. It's that simple. 8 months in, he can do it. You can do it. I can do it. And then what's next? What's their next step? Invite them along. Invite them to church with you. Invite them to come to Alpha with you, and you show up with them because that's where they'll get a lot of questions answered. Invite them into a conversation because you don't just get new life. You've received a new story. And we've been saying the last few weeks that Easter changes everything. And I hope that that has sunk in for you because Easter actually has changed everything. It's changed your past, your old story. You're forgiven. You've got a new story. It's changed your present. Now grace reigns in your life. Lean into God's grace. Don't abuse grace, but lean into God's grace and know that you have a new life. It's changed your future, your new life, your eternal life. And it's changed your purpose. Your purpose to reconcile others to him. In short, go tell someone. Easter changes everything. And if that's true, then you and 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 you online and me, we need to make sure that everybody else knows that Easter changed everything. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, we were born into Adam's story. But if we're honest, it's not just Adam's story. It's Stan's story. It's Charlie's story. It's NK's story. It's Bill and Bob and Susie and Beth. Lord, it's all of our story. And Lord, thank you that while we were born into a story, and then we kept perpetuating that you gave us another story we could step into through Jesus. And now, Lord, help us to live in that story. Help us to live out the new purpose you've given us. Help us to rest in your grace. And, Lord, help us to thrive in that. Lord, if we are still struggling with sin that keeps trying to pull us back, and that old story that wants us to tell us lies that we have to live in it. Lord, help us to say, no, 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 no. Jesus gave me a new story. I don't have to live in that anymore. And may we glorify you as we live out that new story, sharing it with others in Jesus' name.